Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
She's paving the way to success for female entrepreneurs, and we appreciate her all for it. Thank you and welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and today we are speaking to Deborah Jackson. And a little bit later in the interview, we will also be joined by Anu Bardwaj as well. And Deborah, we are so excited to have you on our show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm really happy to be participating in your program because I think it's terrific.
Thank you. We're so excited to have you on our show as well. And to start off the interview, I would love to just know a little bit more about your story, how you came to do what you're doing today.
Okay. I love this question because I've had a long path, a personal path and a career path. And I'm a believer that everything people do in their lives is reflective of what's gone before them and the experiences that they've had both professionally and personally. So my story starts a couple of things that are relevant. First, I traveled around quite a bit as a child. My family moved 5 or 6 different times in the United States as I was growing up. And I grew up in a family with 5 children. So that experience of traveling around and being the new person in schools and, being somewhat picked up from different environments and put in different and new environments, all that really taught me a great sense of self-reliance that I was very much not influenced by my peers, which is very uncommon as people grow up. I was very much influenced by being in new environments and new cultures and meeting different kinds of people with different backgrounds. So that was a very good experience. And growing up in a rather large family, that also taught me, seeing my mom worked very hard with 5 children and no outside help, I looked at that situation and said, boy, I want to have children, but I also want to have my own income. And I also want to be able to hire people or get help when I need help so that I don't have to do the entire workload of cooking and making meals and, laundry and all the things that go along with being a parent. So so that was my early years. Right after college, I went to school in Michigan and then went to live in Boston. And I had the great opportunity to work for about 5 years before I went to business school. And I worked in the government sector and was very involved in the desegregation movement in Boston and very involved in budgeting and what was happening with government and how you fund very important social programs. So did that for 5 years. Then decided I needed more skills, and so I decided to go to business school and went to Columbia University in New York City. And I had thought consciously that since I moved around so much, I wanted to go to one place and put down roots and really establish myself in the community and to have my profession in one place and also have my family in one place so my children would not have to move around the same way I did. And I consciously picked New York City to go to school and then to be my hometown because I thought there were so many interesting people and so many interesting careers. Mm-hmm. And I thought, gee, I could be in New York City and never be bored. I could learn new things my entire life. So I went to Columbia Business School, and after I graduated, I was probably the only person in my class who had not taken a job. And I had several job offers, but I really looked around at different jobs, and I thought, this is something that would be interesting for a year or two, but I could not see myself doing it long term. And I thought, I really want something that combines my interests, which are really about, you know, doing good in the world and also finance and having an impact on the world. So I turned down every job offer that I had. And then eventually went back and found that I wanted to go into investment banking because I felt that that was a field where I could learn for many, many years and do transactions and, you know, be on the road and work with clients around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that was a profession that was of interest to me. So I took a position at Goldman Sachs in 1980. So that was a time when Goldman was a smaller firm and a small partnership and a very, very different firm from what it is today. But I started off on Wall Street at Goldman and did financing for not-for-profit hospitals and governments and museums. And I always felt good about that because I said, I'm not financing nuclear power plants, I'm actually financing institutions that do good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So had a very stimulating and successful career at Goldman. It was a male-dominated industry, of course, as it is today. And I loved my job. I loved the content of my job. But quite honestly, I found it very, very challenging to be a female in a male-dominated environment.
Right.
And so that experience was very powerful for me. And back at that point, like, the women really tried just to blend in with the men. And we used to wear, you know, navy blue suits and all that. And mm-hmm. what I learned from that experience is that women, you know, are so different. And we need to celebrate and recognize that difference.
Right.
There's something very, very powerful about women. I think they view the world differently. And there's research that shows how the brain chemistry and how the brain of a female works is very different from a male brain. And I think that's something that we're just beginning to appreciate. And we need to have more women in senior positions, not only on Wall Street, but in corporate America,
mm-hmm.
in the field of government and mm-hmm. politics and the arts. And I just see that women have so much to contribute that we need to find ways and opportunities for them to do that.
Right.
And that's what I'm very, very interested in.
Right, definitely. And you've also contributed to the advancement of women in those positions as well through the establishment of a crowdfunding platform. So I would love to know from you, what drove you to start a crowdfunding platform out of all the different things that you could do with investment?
So I worked on Wall Street for 21 years and then retired from Wall Street, but I didn't retire from what I really care about. And that is really getting women to have the opportunity to be all that they can be and get the resources and support and money for their company. So after I left Wall Street, I decided that I wanted to do more for women. And I looked around at all the opportunities and I realized that there were so many fantastic women that were starting companies. And I wanted to make sure that they got proper funding.
Mm-hmm.
And the data shows that women who start companies don't get an equal amount of funding compared to their male counterparts. So I thought it was very important to find a way to help women get money so that they could carry out their dreams and form companies and do art projects and not-for-profits that benefit women and girls, that they could get funding and really prosper. So that was my mission and desire to do that, and I looked around at a number of opportunities and ways that I could do that and felt that the best way for me, given my experience and my knowledge of finance and so forth, was really to found a company that focused on women entrepreneurs. And so
right.
My company is called PlumAlley.co, and it's a little over 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off profiling female-founded companies and the story behind the women and their companies and the products that they were creating. And you could have an opportunity to purchase their products on our
right.
site.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was very, very important that we know that the women who founded those companies got profiled because many times no one knew their story.
Mm-hmm.
And their stories were amazing. Their inspiration was amazing for why they founded their company. And many times the products were eco-friendly or very, very creative and had a very special story. So
definitely.
To me, it was important. To profile those women.
Right, definitely. And we will get more into that company after our break. But for now, we are going to go to a break. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and continue in our conversation with Deborah Jackson. You are listening to Women Investing, Women and Girls. Stay tuned.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids Channel. Bon appetit!
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation with Deborah Jackson. And before we got to the break, Deborah, we got a little bit into what Plum Alley is, the crowdfunding platform that you were a part of. And just to continue that, do you mind explaining again what Plum Alley is and what it does for these women entrepreneurs?
Sure. So Plum Alley is a site where women can go and raise money for their companies or their ventures. And I founded the company a little over 2 years ago because I was meeting so many talented women who had ideas that could possibly turn into companies or creative projects that they wanted to do. And I know so many fabulous not-for-profit organizations that benefit women and girls, and they need money.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from my background on Wall Street and raising money for big entities, I realized there was a huge need to help women get money efficiently and quickly within their networks. So my company, Plum Alley, when we first got started 2 years ago, we first offered e-commerce for women entrepreneurs. So if you were a woman who had a great company and a great product, we would feature you and you could offer your products for sale on Plum Alley. And we started with that, but then we quickly moved into a platform that would also provide women who wanted to start companies and wanted to test market new products, and for women that were in media and needed money to do films and things like that to get their voice out there,
mm-hmm.
and also for not-for-profits that benefit women and girls. So we started our crowdfunding platform last October, and so far we've had a handful of projects that have been successful on the platform. We've had women entrepreneurs that have companies and decided to test market new products, maybe a new flavor of something or a new color. And so they launched a campaign to raise money and for the market to tell them what was the best product and what should they do in their company.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also had women that have come forward with films, ideas for documentary films, and not-for-profit organizations that teach girls and women coding skills for employment. So there's been this just amazing range of projects that have come forward. And what we do at Plumally is we actually help these women launch their campaigns. So the idea often is somewhat intimidating for women to go forward and put their idea out there, expose themselves, and ask the public to give them feedback and to give them money. That can be quite intimidating
mm-hmm.
for women and men as well. So what we do at Plumally is we work very, very closely with these women that come forward, and we guide them through the whole process. So a woman may have a dream, and we then work with her to say, okay, that's your dream. How do you turn that into a reality? And how much money do you need to raise so that you can take your first steps forward? And we help the women on our site and also through in-person events and on phone calls. And we work with the women to narrow down and focus their project and then put together a very organized campaign for how they'll go forward with their project and how to raise money. So it's very specific for the steps that you should take in order to be successful. And we provide a lot of guidance and support for the women. And it really produces a high level of success when you have that kind of guidance. And there are some other platforms out there that are not focused on women or women's issues or what women care about. And those platforms tend to be less successful. And so our approach is very, very specific that we guide the women because we know there are some best practices and things that you can do that will increase your chances of success.
Definitely. And taking into consideration the crowdfunding platform in general, what crowdfunding is, how does it change the game for access to capital for women? And what does it mean for women entrepreneurs and female investors to have a crowdfunding platform to be a part of?
So I think it's very important that women have places where they can go, where their products and their companies and their stories will be understood. And
mm-hmm.
In the traditional way that money is raised, most venture capitalists and most angel investors, early stage investors, tend to be men. In fact, the numbers show that roughly 10 to 12% of angel investors are female, and on the venture capital side, less than 5% of venture capitalists are female. And so what that means is that when companies come forward and women come forward, they're basically presenting to a group of men. And what's known in the investing business is investors invest what they know about and what they care about.
Right.
So therefore, if you're a woman and you have a product that appeals to women and you're pitching to a table of guys, they may not get or really care about your product. And that has nothing to do with how good your product is or your company is or how good you are as a woman entrepreneur. So So that's just the kind of lay of the land of what's going out there. By having a dedicated site like Plum Alley that focuses on women and women entrepreneurs and the projects that women care about, if you're on Plum Alley, you are going to be exposed to your natural audience. Our Plum Alley audience is roughly 80% female, where other companies like Kickstarter, they basically have the opposite. They basically have about 80% of their audience is male.
Wow.
So if you're a woman and you have a project that appeals to women, you would want to be on a site where the audience cares about the same thing and is likely to fund your project.
Great.
And keep in mind here, for crowdfunding, the term is crowdfunding, but the truth of the matter is most of the money comes from your network. And so that you may or may not define that as the crowd, but it's really a very organized way to approach your own network, and I don't just mean your close network like your friends and family, but kind of the extended network that cares about what you care about. So for instance, if you're a woman who wants to do a documentary, there are several very active women's organizations, women producers, women actresses, and so forth. So if you were to launch a campaign that was a documentary that women, are producing, then you would want to connect with that broader circle of people that care about the same thing you do. So crowdfunding is really about activating your closest circle of friends and family, but then reaching beyond to the community that would also be sympathetic or interested in what you're doing.
Great. Great.
So it's a very, very new way of fundraising, very powerful. The whole concept of fundraising obviously has been around for quite some time, but to be able to do it online with the tools of technology and the internet makes it so much more efficient and powerful and low cost.
Right. Definitely. We always talk on this show the power of the internet and all the opportunities that it opens for women across the board, whether they're looking for funding or for other things as well. But for our very last question that we will continue after the break, though, is who are the investors? Are they people just like you and me, or are they actual investors for the little bit of time that we do have left in this section?
So there are two major types of crowdfunding. One is equity-based, which means that when you when you're raising money, you're giving away equity ownership in your company. So that's one type, and that's done right now online with high-net-worth individuals or what's called accredited investors, or pretty much wealthy people that can afford to make angel investments or early stage investments. So that's one category. The other category, which is what we do at Plum Alley, is we raise money for companies and projects and pre-orders of products, all of that without giving away any equity in your company.
Okay.
So in that case, it's called reward-based crowdfunding. Which means you give the people that give you money some type of reward.
Right.
And that reward could be a pre-order of a product. It could be, a T-shirt. It could be your name in the credits for the documentary film.
Mm-hmm.
You get something back, this tangible item. But also, you're basically supporting something you believe in.
Great. And we will continue this conversation once more. Remember, we do want to hear from all of our listeners out there. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or follow us on Twitter. But for right now, we will go take a break. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Stay tuned.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself. an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I am your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are speaking with Deborah Jackson, continuing our conversation, and we are also joined today with Anu Bardwaj, who is with us for the second part of the interview, of the discussion that we have going on. And Deborah, before we went to the break, we were talking about the way that Plum Alley is so unique and the way that it offers so many benefits to both entrepreneurs and investors. And what I'd love to ask you is, what has been the success rate of entrepreneurs reaching their funding goals through this platform?
On Plum Alley, we have had a number of campaigns, and our success rate is over 80% of the campaigns are successful.
Wow.
That means that they've set a funding goal and they've been able to reach that funding goal, and in many cases go over the funding goal. So that's a very, very high percentage when you look at the other companies that do crowdfunding. And the data shows that on other platforms, the success rate is well below 50%. So there's a reason that we have a very high success rate, and that's because we work very, very closely with the women that come forward and launch campaigns. So we give them advice in the beginning. We help them craft their campaign. We help them with a plan to execute their campaign when it's live. And we connect them with a broader group of women that may be interested in what they're doing. So there is a reason we are as successful with our campaigns. And I think that's very, very important because it takes a lot to decide to do a campaign, put one together, and you want to be successful at that. Mm-hmm. And so our business strategy is very much focused on getting the right information to the project creators when they need it, to give them best practices, and to cheer them on so that they're successful.
So I just want to put this into context, Deborah. Access to capital for women has been a challenge for as long as I've known, especially when they're accessing venture capital or private equity capital and whatnot. And the success rates for women who are diving into crowdfunding has just been much higher. Can you talk a little bit about what this means, what this industry means for women in general, and why you're so passionate about it?
Well, I see crowdfunding as a way to open the doors for women to get more capital. And you're absolutely right. If you look at the data, most of the money that's out there does not go to female-founded companies or female entrepreneurs. That's also true for women in the arts. When you look at the films that are funded, most are not with female directors. And so I view this opportunity to use the internet and technology to open the door and give women new access to capital. And I think we're at the very early stages of what crowdfunding will evolve into, but I do see this as a kind of leveling the playing field and giving women new access to capital. And it works on both sides, because it's very good for the woman entrepreneur to be able to get capital, but it's also very good for women who want to support other women and have not really had an easy way to do that around economics. So if you want to contribute to your friend who's doing a film or a woman who's starting a company, then even with a small amount of money, be it, you know, $25 or, you know, something like that, you can support your friend economically. And I think we're at the time now where women have to not only ask for money, seek money, but I think we need women to come forward to support them economically.
Fantastic. And on your site, are you able to track demographic data? And if so, you know, what are the percentages of women that you see investing? And secondly, approximately what ages are they?
So the data that we have from our site is quite interesting. It actually shows that most of the funding for the projects on our site come from women. And I would say roughly 80% of the funds come from women. And that doesn't surprise me, because the projects appeal to women. So we've had a company that produced a vitamin water for women athletes. We had a company that introduced a new line of clothing for women in travel. And we've had a company that came forward that wanted to raise money to teach women tech skills so that they could get employment. So in a lot of the cases of what women, the kinds of companies they found or the products they create, or the films they want to do, it all is something they care about. So it's very heavily focused on what women care about. And so the likely funders of that will be women. And so it's really fantastic to see the range of kinds of projects that have come forward. It's fascinating to see how women ignite their own community, because in most cases, you will raise the bulk of your money from your own circle. And so you see women who have had a ton of friends, but they never really had a way efficiently to say, oh, I've got a project up. Can you check out my page and support my project? And so how it used to happen in the past was that women would have to approach each and every one of their friends and go through a long discussion and say, I'm doing this, And many times they would not make the ask of, well, I'm doing this, will you contribute economically? And so with what we have now is women can put up a very, you know, powerful campaign with the right information. They can easily say to their friends, look, I have this campaign up, please check it out, please support me. And so what we're seeing is this is happening across every demographic, every age group, old women, younger women, girls. And by seeing a crowdfunding platform and supporting a friend, many times it triggers that woman to think, oh, wow, I actually could raise money for something I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to have a big established company. And many times raising a little bit of money this on a crowdfunding platform gives that woman confidence and kind of an experience or skill in asking for money. And then it becomes much more natural for that woman to do it. So we've seen situations where women raised $25,000. Well, here it is 6 months later, and they are moving forward and have decided to raise either angel funding or VC funding. And in some cases, actually, VCs have gone to our site and have discovered women or their companies or products and then reached out to them and opened the door to further discussions. So I see raising money in crowdfunding as a bit of a stepping stone to go up the chain. And by doing crowdfunding early without giving away any equity, you get your company, you can get your company off the ground. You can experiment with products. You can get pre-orders for products so you don't have to go into production and spend a lot of money and then keep your fingers crossed that the product sells. So you can actually de-risk your venture by raising a little bit of money first, check out the market, establish yourself, and then move forward. So there's lots of benefits to doing a campaign beyond just raising the money. You can test market products. You can market. You can get your brand out there. It's it has a lot of benefits beyond just getting the money.
Great. And we will continue this conversation more after the break. We are going to go into our last break. For right now, we will get back to talking more about the benefits of Plum Alley and what we have looking for the future as well. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I am your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation with Deborah Jackson and Anu Bardwaj. And before we got to the break, we talked more about what women can gain from Plum Alley. And Deborah, for right now, I would love to know from you, did you experience an aha moment after the establishment of this platform that you realized that what you were doing was truly incredible?
I have to say that having founded Plum Alley and the path that I've been on for the past couple of years has been one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my life. And that is because it is the combination of being able to do something that I really care about and I think matters. But also, I have met such incredible women along the way who have come forward and been very brave and said, look, I want some money, and I'm willing to give this a try. I've never done this before. And I see these women, and this happens every week. I meet a woman who says, I have this dream or I have this project. I want to give it a try. Will you help me? And these women come forward, and honestly, I have had tears in my eyes at so many points because I am inspired to see the courage and motivation that they have. And then they go down the path, they put their campaign together, they raise money, and then at the end, the satisfaction that they see and they achieve just warms my heart. So I get to live with that all the time, and I am constantly inspired by the ideas that women have. And the truth is, every woman either has a project or a dream that could be funded or knows someone who does. And what's very beautiful about this right now is that all of a sudden, women who have dreams have a way to take the first step. And so for me, I just, you know, what I'm doing now combines all my experience in finance and entrepreneurship and the use of technology and helping women. And all of this has come together, and I get to live every day with meeting brand new women, incredible women who hear about us, come forward. And I am inspired by them. And so people say, oh, thank you. You know, Plum Alley has really helped me. And all I can think is, my gosh, you have inspired me. It's why I get up every day. It's why I do what I do. And I can see tangible results. I can see the fact that, you know, that Jen Shaw got money for her tech program for women in rural America. And I can see Cindy Convery, who got money for her documentary film. And that kind of satisfaction is the best thing in the world. It is the best thing, and I just am so fortunate to be able to be doing this at this time in my life, and, you know, it's everything I care about, and, you know, with technology, it's just everything has come together, and I've met Anu, I've met other women in the last couple of years, and I honestly believe we are on the cusp of a major breakthrough. I think now with technology, we can connect in a way. Great women can find other great women. We can support the next generation of fabulous girls coming up. And I think we can build something that has never existed before. And I feel that it's our time. I feel the world needs women and girls to rise and have their place and have their voice and found their companies, create their wealth, because this world is pretty messed up. So I think part of the reason it's as challenged as it is because we've not had women and girls at the table. We've not let them be all they can be. And I think we need that for our survival. And so we are at a time that I think it's happening. I think we're connecting, and I think getting money to women for their dreams, to make their dreams a reality, it's mm-hmm. absolutely a key part of that puzzle.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And as far as supporting the next generation goes, like you just mentioned, I personally believe that you are a great role model to have. And I would love to know from you, what advice would you give to other young girls as well? We've heard from past guests on our show, including Gloria Felt, who said to lead your dreams and other variations of not being afraid to take a challenge, etc. But do you have any advice that you would give to a young girl?
Yes, and I have two fabulous daughters myself. They're grown, they're 27 and 24. And so my advice to the next generation is to not sweat the small stuff. There's, you know, when I was growing up and I saw it with my own daughters, and I see it with the team I have, which is a younger team, lots of fabulous younger women in their 20s and 30s. And what I see is, you know, when something goes wrong or you have a bad day or you made a mistake, there's a tendency to really take that very, very seriously and to live with it and, you know, and really kind of blow it up. And what you learn over time is that a lot of that stuff that you worried about 6 months ago, you know, in retrospect, wasn't really that big or that crucial. So, therefore, I would just say when stuff comes up that you think, oh, I made a mistake, or I failed at this, or I can't do that, or, like, just put it over your shoulder. Just say, I am not going to worry about this. And it's sometimes easier said than done, but I think it's somewhat of a discipline to just say, look, I'm not going to listen to that voice. I'm not going to let that get me down. I'm not going to beat up on myself for making this mistake. And just consciously say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to listen to that voice. And just appreciate that over time, you will realize those mistakes you made or, you know, what you've learned along the way. It's a process, and it's okay to make mistakes. It doesn't really matter. As long as you're still standing, you're good. The only thing that really matters is your head, like how you deal with things that happen or setbacks that happen. Like, how do you just move on? And a lot of moving on is just drawing the line and saying, I'm going to move on. Like, I am not going to spend my time and my energy going over this and going over this. I'm just going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very helpful because it takes, you know, gets rid of a lot of negative energy, and it just allows you to just move forward faster.
Definitely. Would you consider just move on? Would you consider that your motto for success maybe?
So, like, just move on?
Well, so not to put the past behind you, don't dwell on the past, and to move forward instead.
Yes, yes. I think it's, we're all aware of our past, and the past makes us who we are, but you don't want to be burdened by that. You want to take what you have from your past and use the good parts and just keep moving forward.
Great.
You know, not to be stuck, not to be in a, you know, just keep moving forward because there's so much to do and there are so many things to learn and no one does it perfectly. And if you just let yourself go forward, keep going forward, it's a little bit like a startup company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make a lot of mistakes and you do experiments and does this work, does that work? Does this relationship work out? Does this employee work out? And you don't always get it right, but it doesn't matter. What really matters is that you just keep going forward and you don't give up.
We love it.
And you make something out of it.
Thank you so much for that. That's some great advice. You want to hear from all of our listeners out there what you think of this advice. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter. Use #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. Deborah, thank you so much for being a part of our program. We really do appreciate you. giving some advice to our listeners and letting us know what Plum Alley is, and it's all some very, very great stuff. Thank you so much again for being a part of our show, and thank you to our listeners.
It's been my pleasure.
Absolutely.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you again to our listeners as well for listening to our show, Women Investing in Women and Girls. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. This show is produced by KidStar for the Voice America Kids Network. KidStar Radio, we empower kids. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
From Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The KidStar Album of the Month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to Three Kids in the Car.
Three kids in the car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the sister's sitting in the front seat, who at this part of the song you need to realize is about 3 months away from getting her driver's license. She's thinking to herself, I can't believe that I'm still riding with them. I hope that we're not seen by some of my friends. And if by chance I fail the driver's exam, then I am running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. Brothers sitting behind her, who at this point of the song you need to realize is about 5 years younger than she is, but he's still about 2 years older than his little brother sitting next to him. He glares down at his little brother and he's thinking to himself, I can't wait till our sister's finally gone. Then I'll sit up front cause that's where I belong. And I'll be rid of you, you miserable worm. Why don't you just run away? Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. They can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done bad enough. And the little brother, who at this point of the song you need to realize is a whole lot smarter than the other two think he is. He glares back up at his big brother and he's thinking to himself, I know that there's nobody back in the trunk. Try to scare me with all that junk. I hope you read my mind, I think you're a skunk. And guess what, I'm not running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the mother who's been driving all this time, she's thinking to herself, things that I'd better not say. So we'll just pretend that she's thinking, oh, what a beautiful day.
The KidStar Album of the Month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the KidStar website, www.kidstar.org.